Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you will not hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in his word that he would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Today's show is a message given by Pastor Joe Schimmel to his congregation at Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California. Now here with vital insights from God's Word is pastor and author Joe Schimmel.
In Romans, we read about the mystery of God, preaching the gospel, Jews and Gentiles included in one body. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 11, it says, "Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all." That's this mystery. That's God's, the Lord of us all now, who put our faith in Jesus, and we will not be disappointed. Now, take your Bibles, because it's going to get heavier, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 9. He made known to us the what? The mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of what? All things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth in him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Brothers and sisters, the mystery of God is that everything is going to be summed up in Christ. There's not going to be good and evil hanging out together for eternity, folks. There's not this eternal dualism between light and darkness, you see. God divides the light from the darkness. And there's a process going on right now where the believers, Jews and Gentiles, will all be part of one body. All the holy angels, all that which is with God will be with him forever. Those who believe in Christ, see, God predestined that those who would believe in Jesus would be sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting because we read more about this mystery in chapter 2, verse 11, this unification of believers with Jews and Gentiles becoming one. Keep in mind, you have to keep in mind the context here. In the first century, Jews, you know, Jewish men, they didn't want to be a few things. One was a dog, a woman, and a Gentile. That was a saying, okay? Now, this was heavy for the Jews to accept that, wow, we're going to be with the Gentiles now? And it's hard for the Gentiles to accept at many levels as well. Chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, he's the heart of the mystery, folks. You who formerly were far off after being brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups, catch this, who made both groups into what? One, and broke down the barrier, the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in him he might make the two into one new man. See, Jesus Christ, we're part of the body of Christ now as his bride. One new man, thus establishing peace. Verse 16, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. Isaiah 57:19 he quotes from. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of the household, or of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's the foundations of the church. Christ Jesus being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Now notice as he goes on, he speaks of this mystery. He continues to speak of it in chapter 3, verse 1. Check this out. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you. Remember, he was sent to the Gentiles, to the nations, the obedience of faith, that by revelation, now check out verse 3, that by revelation there was made known to me the what? The mystery. As I wrote before in brief. See, Paul's talked about this mystery before. Like Romans 16, Romans 11. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. What is it? Which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles, the prophets of the Spirit. Verse 6, to be specific that the Gentiles, now listen, he's going to be specific about the mystery, to be specific that the Gentiles are what? Fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Is that clear enough, folks? That's the mystery, that Jews and Gentiles are part of the same body through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. The church, we're to make it known. Paul's dead and gone. We are the continual, you know, ambassadors of that mystery, that God is building his body of Jews and Gentiles, one body. Now, it gets heavier if you go to Ephesians 5, and I don't have time to really get into it because I want to go through a lot of other mystery verses or verses that speak of this mystery, but I want to point this out to you. He talks about husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for, and that husbands are an illustration of how Jesus gave his life for the church, and that brides, wives, are a picture of the bride of Christ, and the two become one flesh. And even so, as a man and woman become one flesh and form a new family, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, takes his bride, the church, and they have become one. In fact, look at verse 32, or verse 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. It's a great mystery. I mean, think of it, folks. The God who created the entire universe created us in his image. We know we're the highest being on the planet, and we realize that God's revealed himself to us. God became a man, the creator of this universe. He died on the cross. He's revealed himself through the prophets, and he's letting us know that he's creating a body, Christ and his body, Jews and Gentiles, to be one with him forever. That's a radical truth, and that's the mystery. And you and I are stewards of that mystery. God, help us to be good stewards, amen? That we hear, well done, good and faithful servants. Paul says he's a master builder. We want to be master builders. Jews and Gentiles. You know, when you see New Jerusalem and you see the ultimate consummation of the ages, the very, very, very end in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, the last two chapters of the Bible, you see New Jerusalem. Guess what you see on it? The names of the 12 tribes of Israel, the Jews. And the names of what? The 12 apostles, the foundation of the church. Jews and Gentiles all united in the same New Jerusalem that comes down like a bride prepared for husband from heaven, comes down to the earth. It's going to be beyond anything you've ever seen in any movie regarding like a spaceship or whatever coming down. It's going to be huge, 144,000 by 144,000 miles. We're called the church. Church is a kind of a poor word for the Greek. The Greek word is ekklesia, and it's from ek and kaleo, which means literally called out ones. Literally in the Greek, if you read, when you read the word church, it means called out ones. So when you say I'm going to church, you're really going to visit or be with the called, not talking about the building, you're talking about going to be with the called out ones, those who Jews and Gentiles who are part of the same body, amen? We need to keep in mind the context too when we go to the seventh trumpet. Remember, there's an angel with his foot on the earth and on the sea, right? Representing dominion. And the seventh trumpet's going to blow, and the mystery of God is going to be what? Finished. How's it going to be finished? How's it going to be completed? Think about it. Jesus said, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the world, is a witness to what? All the nations, then the what? Then the end will come. What did Paul say? When the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, the last Gentile believer, then the deliverer will come out of Zion. Amen? So the mystery of God is finished when the last Gentile is saved and Jesus Christ reveals himself at the seventh trumpet. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The mystery of God, the seventh angel, says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. Now, I told you that word about can mean specifically that, about, meaning just before the seventh trumpet blows, or it can also be translated in a future tense, because when John wrote that, that particular word, tense, was being used as a future tense too. So really, we can't be absolute about it. But I think this is very interesting. When the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, right? That last Gentile is saved. That's going to happen when the trumpet's about to sound, because the trumpet sounds after that last Gentile gets saved. So the mystery of God will be finished when the angel is about to sound. That makes perfect sense to me. However, when the angel does blow the trumpet, guess what? The mystery of God is all wrapped up and ultimately finished. How so? Well, the seventh trumpet, what trumpet is that? The first, middle, or last trumpet? Seventh trumpet is the what? The last trumpet. Well, what does Paul say will happen at the last trumpet? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says in verse 50, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Verse 51, behold, I tell you a what? I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will what? All be changed. That's Jewish and Gentile believers, all those that make up the mystery of God, all that Jews and Gentiles, part of the same body of Christ. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the what? At the last trumpet, folks. Not at the first trumpet, not before the seven trumpets, not in the middle of the trumpets, but at the last trumpet. Paul says, for the trumpet will sound, he calls it the last trumpet. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will, now look at this, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Now notice he quotes Isaiah 25 and Hosea 13, Old Testament prophets who prophesied about the coming resurrection, but they didn't understand this whole thing about Jews and Gentiles being caught up as the body of Christ at the rapture / resurrection. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive will be caught up to meet them, the Lord. They didn't understand all that, but all these guys were prophesying about the mystery of God ultimately, and the mystery of God will be finished. The last Gentile saved just before the trumpet blows. But the mystery of God will be ultimately consummated in the transformation of all Jews and Gentile believers are caught up together and unified as part of the body of Christ as resurrected beings, folks. That's a further development of the mystery of God. We're actually all together. And Paul said, when you have loved ones that die in the Lord, he said, comfort one another with these words that we'll be caught up, that the dead in Christ rise first, and those who are alive will be caught up to meet them in the air. Amen? There's going to be this huge assembly and meeting of all the different believers.
You're listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. If you'd like to learn more about our life-changing resources, such as They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll and The Submerging Church, check out our website at goodfightradio.org.
Now, it's interesting to me that Paul could have said this, comfort them that when they die, they're going to go to heaven and be with their loved ones. It would have been easy to say that. That's what we usually say, right? But he said, comfort them with these other words, that when Jesus Christ comes, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we were alive, we caught up and meet them in the air. He's focused on that because that's going to be the ultimate triumph, our resurrected bodies and all united together at the ultimate conclusion of the mystery of God. Now, how exciting is that? How exciting is it to know what's coming up? And I'm glad I don't have to rely on Nelly the elephant, you know, or Poo-Poo the pigeon or whoever it was, you know, or any of these things. I got the Word of God, you know? You have the Word of God. This is your future. It's beyond anything you could dream of in this world. And what a privilege it is. And you know, it's in 2 Peter when he warns that, you know, God's not slack concerning his promise of Christ coming, but is not willing that any would perish to give more people an opportunity to be saved. And that's happening right now. There'll come a time when the world sticks its feet so deep in the ground, now they're ripe for judgment. And now God can show his mercy to the vessels of mercy. He can show his wrath to the vessels of wrath who rejected Messiah and be ultimately glorified. But Peter, in that context, says this, hasten the day of God. Now, I've looked up years ago, I looked up that Greek word because the word hasten means to speed up. And I looked up the Greek word translated, hasten was as a new Christian, and it means just that in the Greek too, speed it up. Well, how in the world can you and I speed up the coming of Christ? When does Jesus come? When the gospel of the kingdom is preached and all the world is a witness to what? All nations. Who's supposed to be doing that? Us. When the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, right? First of all, you can help speed up by getting saved if you're not saved. Amen? That'll get us a step closer. And you won't go to hell. That's even better for you. We both get blessed in that. Amen? We'd be really happy to see you saved too. Number two, we hasten it by simply sharing the gospel with people. Getting off our rear ends. Getting the salt out of the shaker and becoming the salt of the earth. By the way, this last week I did a message on being the salt of the earth, and we're going through Mark at the end of verse chapter 9. And next, this coming Wednesday, we have a great study on Wednesday, a great group of people there. Encourage you to be there, getting the salt of the earth again. Part two of that and finishing up Mark 9. But it's amazing to see. Do you realize what time in history you live? We think, oh, it would be so awesome to live in, you know, the apostles' days and see the miracles of Jesus. And that would have been awesome. As long as you were one of those that turned to Jesus, amen? But you know what's awesome to live right now too? Do you know what's happened in just the last 20 years in missions? Do you realize what's going on in this world right now? We see the bad news, we see things getting worse, but I want you to keep in tune with what's going on, and you'll have a lot, your life will be more blessed if you get caught up in the wonder and the beauty of God's will, the wonder of his love and what he's doing. In the last 20, 25 years or so, did you realize the Koreans, how many Koreans have been saved and the revival that's been happening there? I went and did I spoke at a school over in San Fernando Valley. There were like 70 kids in the public school in their Christian club. And almost every one of them there were Koreans. I have Korean friends that love Jesus. When I was in Brazil, I met Korean missionaries that are out there. Now, North Korea needs the gospel, obviously more. But there's North Koreans getting saved too. Coming across the border, getting saved and going back and telling their family. China. Missions have spread throughout China in the last 20 years like crazy. In South and Central America, the gospel, it's unbelievable how much it's spread. How many people you meet that are involved in missions when we're out there. We've gone to Central America. We've gone to not only Mexico, but we've gone to, which is, you know, more central is Costa Rica and South America now with Brazil. The gospel is spreading, folks. A lot of Christians. Christians on Brazil's soccer team that are very outspoken, like David Luiz or Silva, who has a yellow card that he's appealing right now. They're going to need him because they play Germany next. That's going to be tough. But I'll tell you what, you know, FIFA made praying, they forbid praying a few years ago because the Brazilian players were worshiping God after they'd won a World Cup. Actually, I think it was Confederation Cup a few years back. But there's people sharing, you know, Africa, huge continent. All kinds of nations throughout Africa being evangelized. When we went to Uganda on a mission trip a few years back, you know, a common greeting, you'd go pass up people on the street. You know what? I'm not kidding. You say, hey, they go, praise the Lord. Can you imagine going, walking through Simi Valley, the mall, and people saying, hey, praise the Lord. It's trip. Jesus' name is being lifted up. The gospel is spreading throughout the earth, folks. And a lot's happening right now, right now. And the awesome thing is we get to be part of that. Mission trip to the Philippines coming up next year. Be there next week. Pray about it. Be there if you feel God moving on your heart. It blows you away. You know what? I love being on the mission field. I know I'm called to be a pastor, but man, I love getting out there and sharing the gospel. I'm looking forward to going to the Philippines. You know, I've got some things to juggle. I want to try to go out there for at least a week, but it'll probably be a longer trip. And I'll tell you what, you're like, oh, I wish I could go to the Philippines. I don't have the money. Folks, you have a lot of time. Missionaries typically raise money. You send out letters to people. We can let you know how to form those letters to get help so you can go out and be a witness. But you don't have to go to the Philippines to be an evangelist, to do evangelism. This is a mission field, right? When you leave here today, most of the people you'll see is part of the mission field that Jesus told us to reach, amen? So be ready in season, out of season, the scriptures say. Always be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in you, the Bible says. Amen? Let's be about our Father's business. I'll tell you what, life is way more exciting when you're serving Jesus than when you're serving yourself. If you serve yourself and live for yourself, it's just death. When you serve God and live for him, and that doesn't mean you have to witness to X amount of people a day to be right with God. It just means your heart needs to be in the right place and say, God, I love you. I know what Jesus did for me. And please help me to be a light for you. And show me what that looks like for my particular life. Because we all have different gifts, amen? Not everybody here has the same gift. But we are all called to be witnesses. You know that, right? You shall be my witnesses. We're all called to shine the light of Jesus in the way we live our lives, amen? As we live for the Lord and we shine his light as to what it means to be a Christian. In fact, many of the Christians didn't go out in the first century. Many of them just lived for Jesus, were lights at their jobs, their workplaces. Even the slaves leading their masters to Jesus because their attitudes had changed. Show Jesus the way you live, amen? And pray that God would show you who to talk to and where to go. Praise God, it's awesome. Not only to have the privilege to serve him, but how awesome is it to be saved and to know that one day we're gonna be caught up and meet our whole family in the air, Jews and Gentiles, and be with each other forever in New Jerusalem. Amen.
You've been listening to pastor and author Joe Schimmel on the Good Fight Radio Show. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for the continuation of this important message. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, please visit goodfightradio.org, where we feature many eye-popping and life-changing resources on DVD and CD, as well as an archive of previously aired shows. You can visit our podcast page at goodfightradio.org to find many of Pastor Joe's full Sunday morning teachings. If you've been blessed by this show and would like to share this blessing with others, you can help support our ministry by visiting our donate page also at goodfightradio.org. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062. Or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.
Revive Us, the summer event is back, celebrating 5 years in ministry. Revive Us, Saturday, August 23rd at Rancho Simi Community Park in Simi Valley. Featuring Britt Nicole, Hawk Nelson, Seventh Day Slumber. We are the broken. Don't miss Revive Us, the summer event. Gates open at 2 p.m. Since I met you, this event is free. Visit us at www.reviveus.org for more information. We'll see you at Revive Us, the summer event.